Let's go to Isaiah 21. Isaiah 21. Last Wednesday night, when I was on my way home, I got so aggravated at myself because we ran out of time, and I just left out a couple of things that I should have said that I did not say that I think would have better helped you to understand everything. I gave you a lot last Wednesday night, and so I've been struggling all week whether to try and tie things together for you tonight or just move on. And then some things happened here in the last day or so that came out. So I want to tie a couple of other things together for you. We will look at verse 1. It says the burden of the, what's the next word? Desert of the sea. Notice the definition. The desert of the sea. All right, now what sea? Well, the Red Sea. That's the sea that is around Arabia, the Red Sea. And so the burden of the desert of the sea. As whirlwinds in the south pass through, so it cometh from the desert, from a terrible land. A grievous vision is declared unto me. The treacherous dealer dealeth treacherously, and the spoiler spoileth. All right, now, who is this treacherous dealer that deals treacherously? Well, we're about to find out. In the middle part of verse 2, he says, go up, O Elam. Now, let me just stop right here and tell you that you can go to any reputable Bible dictionary and find out that Elam is the land, present-day Iran. That's Elam, the land of Elam. And so he says, go up. Here is the treacherous dealer. Now, let me remind you, this is who we're dealing with right now. And God says that Elam, Iran, is a treacherous dealer. All right? So the treacherous dealer dealeth treacherously, and the spoiler spoileth. Go up, O Elam. Besiege, O Media. Media is the land where the Tigris and the Euphrates rivers run. All right? What is that? That's the part of Iraq that now has Elam's footprint on it. We went in there and drove Al-Qaeda out and then left. And the vacuum that was created was filled in by ISIS. They came in right behind us. We left the weapons, we left the tanks, we left the Humvees, we left the helicopters, and they just moved in and took it. And now they're using them to spread their terror. All right, so that's media. And it is now in the hands of ISIS, with Iran on the ground fighting against ISIS. So it's got Iranian footprints on it. And Iran, in conjunction with the Iraqi people, are slowly but surely driving the ISIS out of there. Town after town. It's taken them a lot longer than they expected, but But they're doing it. But the point is, Media is that region between the rivers. Media. We call this green spot out here between eastbound and westbound the medium. All right, the median of the road. All right, same word. It means in between. So the land between the rivers. All right, read on. All the sighing thereof have I made to cease. Now look down at verse 6. He said, for thus saith the Lord, or thus hath the Lord said unto me, go, set a watchman, let him declare what he seeth. So the watchman watched, and here's what he saw. He saw a chariot with a couple of horsemen and a chariot of asses and a chariot of camels, and he hearkened diligently with much heed. And he cried, a lion, my Lord, I stand continually upon the watchtower in the daytime, and I am set in my ward whole nights. And behold, here cometh a chariot of men with a couple of horsemen. And he answered and said, Babylon is fallen, is fallen. And I showed you last week the exact same words as what is found in Revelation 18 with the destruction of the city of Babylon, the great whore that sits on many waters. Mystery Babylon of chapter 17. Then in 18, exact same words. So John in the Revelation saw the exact same thing that Isaiah saw. They're describing the same event. And what is it? It is the destruction of Babylon, the kingdom of the Antichrist. All right, now go back to verse 2. Who destroys Arabia? Who goes after Arabia? Who goes to destroy Babylon? It is Elam, Iran. You say, Pastor, I've never heard that before. Well, it's been here the whole time. It really has. It's been here the whole time. Keep reading. Look at verse 11. The burden of Duma. That's Saudi Arabia. That's a region known as the area of Duma. We call them states here. All right, we refer to them as states. But over there, they were just tribal areas, and Duma is in Saudi Arabia. If you'll look at verse 13, the burden upon Arabia, in the forest in Arabia shall ye lodge, O ye traveling companies of Dedanim. And Dedanim is in Arabia. All right, so then verse 14, the inhabitants of the land of Tema. Now, what is that? Teman. That's Yemen. All right? Teman means the south. And Yemen is that strip that is south of Saudi Arabia that is today overrun by the Houthis, which are an Iranian-backed militant group. And so now you've got Saudi Arabia and you've got Iran to the north of it, and they are rattling the saber against the Saudis. They're Shia Muslims, and they're rattling the saber against Saudi Arabia. You've got Yemen in the south, and they are now occupied by the radical Shia Muslims. So my point is that everything is shaping up. Everything that the Bible says is going to happen is lining itself up. All right, so this 21st chapter of Isaiah is very, very vital for us understanding the plan that God has for the end times. And my point is, we're here, folks. We are here. All right? So let's pray real quick, and then I want to walk you through a couple of things. And I hope it'll answer some questions for you tonight. All right, let's pray first. Father, help us tonight. We just thank you so much for your wonderful word. Help us to realize that 2,800 years ago, you gave a vision to Isaiah, and he saw a world that was in a certain fashion and acting a certain way. And now here 2,800 years later, we can read what Isaiah said, and that's our world today. And help us to have confidence and faith in what thus saith the Lord. And Father, I pray you'll help me tonight say what I need to say. I want us all to realize what's happening and to understand what's going on. And so, Father, give us wisdom and give us understanding of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. This last Sunday, like 3 days ago, all right, April 19th, our illustrious president had a busy day. The president of Turkey, a fellow by the name of Erdogan, who thinks he's God. Now I don't know how else to say it. He thinks that he is anointed. He sees himself as the caliph of Turkey. He sees himself as the Sultan. He has this Hitler-esque opinion of himself. And I kid you not. President Erdogan of Turkey flew over here this last weekend. And on Sunday, he and Obama had a very special, heartwarming day together. They dedicated a brand spanking new $100 million mosque and conference center in Lanham, Maryland. Lanham, Maryland. Yes, the People's Republic of Maryland. Erdogan, in his dedicatory remarks, repeated the phrase, Barakma Allahim. Barakma Allahim, which means, remember now, he's not in Turkey. He's in America. He is in the United States of America. We the people. Red, white, and blue. He's here. And Barakma Allahim means Allah, do not forsake us. He said, before he left Turkey, you know, they always make remarks before they leave, and then they make remarks when they go home. And he said before he left that it was, and this is his quote, not mine, President Barack Hussein Obama himself has agreed to the construction of the elaborate grand mosque built in Lanham. Now, let me take you back, just put a period right there and a parenthesis, an open parenthesis, Let me give you this, and then we'll close the parentheses and continue on with the story. You remember a couple of years ago, Muammar Gaddafi, who was the grand poobah of Libya. Well, Gaddafi was overthrown by the Obama administration, led by Miss Average American, Hillary Clinton. All right, so Gaddafi was overthrown. He was executed by the rebels that overthrew him in the back of a truck, cold-blooded, point-blank murder. He was executed by the rebels who were armed, trained, and given the plan for how to overthrow Gaddafi by our government. And Gaddafi said this probably about 10 years ago. But Gaddafi said this. He said, Muslims will conquer Europe by assimilation. We won't have to fire a shot. And that is exactly what is happening today in our society. Millions of Muslims have moved into every European nation. And so when the day comes that their Messiah rises, the Antichrist, the Mahdi, when their Messiah rises, a huge army of Muslim fighters will already be in place in these countries to force Europeans to bow to Allah. They have been moving into Europe in record numbers. They have entire regions all over Europe that are Muslim only. The police can't go in there. They put up signs, stay out, Muslim only. They run their whole parts of cities. You say, well, I can't believe that. All right, ready for this? There's a couple of those places here in America. New York, there's one up in upstate New York. There is Dearborn, Michigan. There's several of them in America. All right, close parentheses, back to Erdogan. Erdogan, the self-proclaimed caliph of Turkey, feels the exact same way as did Gaddafi. Last year, in a nationwide speech, here's what he said, all right? By the way, I'm going to call this what the West is missing. We're the West. And several of you went out of here last Wednesday night and you said, Pastor, I just don't understand all this. And this will help you. This is what we're missing. This is what we don't understand about these people. They don't think like we do. Their mindset is not the same as ours. And Erdogan said last year in a nationwide speech this statement. He said, America, speaking of the United States, America was discovered by Muslims, not by Christopher Columbus. Do you remember that? It was in the news. They actually put that on the news. And his point was, since Muslims, now get this now, this is how they think. This is what he was saying. Since Muslims discovered America, the country of the United States belongs to Muslims. That's what he was saying. The West does not understand the Islamic mindset and how they think. And I can tell you, they do not think the way we do. All Erdogan has to do is revise history, claim America was discovered by Muslims, and in the minds of all of those Muslims who heard him say that, America now belongs to them. Case closed. End of story. That's the way it is. After all, he is the president of their nation. And if he says it, you know, it's like liberals with Obama. If he says it, well, it must be true. So, what do they do? Well, when they flee the Middle East under the guise of poverty, under the guise of no jobs, under the guise of poor living conditions, under the guise of no jobs, under the guise of persecution, and they go to Europe or they come to America, what they do is assimilate in their own little cultures. They don't become Americans. That's not their goal. And they come here and they build mosques everywhere they can. They build mosques. Now, let's be honest. Do you ever remember when you were a kid growing up seeing a mosque? Me either. I don't remember ever seeing one. But boy, we sure do see them today. I mean, that was one of the things. I'm going to be honest with you. When I went over to Israel for the first time in 1990, and we were riding from site to site and city to city, one of the things that shocked me, I was really shocked by it, was the number of Muslim mosques that are just everywhere. They're in Jerusalem, every town, every little village, there's a mosque. There's a mosque. You see the minarets sticking up above all the houses and above all the buildings. You see the crescent moon on top, and then green neon lights around the top that burn in the night. And folks, I want you to know that they are now doing the same thing in America. The Quran teaches, and Muhammad taught and did this, that when you conquer a people, you then build a mosque where their churches were. They did that when they captured Constantinople. And they built the mosque where the church was, where the Christian church was. They're doing it now all over the Middle East. And they're killing Christians in record numbers, shocking numbers. And what you do is, here's the thinking now, the West doesn't get this, but the thinking is, well, that's our land now. And so you build a mosque on your land. Now, where is Lanham? Where? Outside what? Outside D.C. Isn't that something? And here's Erdogan spending $100 million to build a mosque. And here's our president at the dedication. Now, you go tell me he doesn't know what's going on? Are you going to tell me that? You mean to tell me he grew up Muslim? Iranian reporters last Wednesday night after church. Two Iranian reporters on a news show in Iran talking back and forth. And Memory, the people that clip those videos and put them so and subtitle it so you can see what they're saying. These two reporters talking back and forth, one of them said, "Obama, isn't that Shia?" And the fellow said, "Well, yes, that's Kenyan Shia." Well, everybody knows that. Well, we don't know that. We don't know that. Nobody ever told us that. We should have known. You don't change your name from Barry to Barack Hussein. And Hussein is a Shia name. You say, "Pastor, I'm blown away." Yeah, you should be. And so here they are at the dedication, and there's old Shiite Barry down there Sunday, smiling away, listening to Erdogan establish his caliphate, enlarge his caliphate, and declare the spread of his foreign god in coded jihad speak, which America, they don't understand what he's saying. But Muslims, Arabs understand what he's saying. And wait a minute, Obama understands what he's saying. We're in trouble, folks. Now, last week I spoke to you about the divide between Shia and Sunni Islam. The Shiite Muslims and the Sunni Muslims have been divided since the 600s. They're both parties, if you will, are Muslims. They both go by the Quran and the Hadiths, both of them. But they hate one another. They hate one another with a passion. But make no mistake about it, they all hold the basic same understanding and acceptance of the end times and what the Quran says is going to happen. Now, as divided over certain issues as they are right now, once the Mahdi, their Messiah, appears, all of their issues will be laid aside, and they will fall into line behind the Mahdi and begin the conquest of the world for the devil, which I mean by that, Allah. Now, I showed you here in Isaiah 21, look at it again, verse 2, that Elam, Iran, will come against Arabia. And this Arabia is Saudi Arabia, the country of Saudi Arabia. When that happens, the cry will be, "Babylon is fallen, Babylon is fallen," verse 9. And folks, that is the exact same language that the Apostle John uses in Revelation 18, 1 and 2. And the point is, the beast, the Antichrist, who I think it is clear will be the Islamic Messiah that is coming, the Mahdi, the Antichrist will destroy the harlot, mystery Babylon, the great whore that sits on many waters, Revelation 17. And I believe that Babylon is the heart and soul of Islam, Mecca. I believe that Babylon, the mother of the harlots, is the heart and soul of Islam. It is a city that sits on seven man-made mountains that is one of the largest, most monstrosities you've ever laid eyes on. And that whole thing overlooks the most holy site in Islam, which is the Kaaba. When they talk about turning towards Mecca and praying five times a day, when you fly on an airplane to the Middle East, there is I've seen them on the floors of the airplanes. I've seen them on the screens, on the back of the chairs. And there is an arrow that points to where Mecca is in relation to where that plane is at the moment. So that people know, the Muslims know, this is the direction of Mecca. I'm going to pray in this direction. And so that's Islam's holy site. Every year, they have what they call the Hajj, H-A-J-J. And the Hajj is where people go to Muslims, Muslims go to Mecca by the millions. And they work themselves into this frenzy, and they set up this, they've got this elaborate system where all these people can get in a circle, and they're like a gyroscope. They're just in pattern like a gyroscope, and they just keep revolving around this Kaaba until eventually everybody gets to get up close to it and touch it. It used to be called the White Stone, but now it's black. And they say that it's black because of the sins that it has absorbed from through the years. No, it's black because it has been touched and it has been hugged and it has got oil on it from people's skin, and it's out in the air. And it's now a black stone, which I think is fitting. But anyway, Mecca is in Saudi Arabia. Now, Saudi Arabia is a Sunni nation. Iran, verse 2, Iran, Elam is Shia. And they are plainly seen here in Isaiah as destroying the harlot. Now, I pointed out to you that this divide is now starting to take shape right before our eyes. Tonight, the Iranians have a fleet of warships loaded with weapons on the way to Yemen to back and support the Iranian calls, the Shiite Houthi rebels who have just recently overthrown the Sunni Yemenite government. So now the Sunni government is out and the Houthi Shia are in. And right now, while we sit here, they've got an armada. Iran has an armada of ships taking weapons to Yemen. It's a big divide. All right, turn over a couple chapters to 34, Isaiah 34. You say, Pastor, where are you going? Hang on, I'm about there. I'm trying to get you to see the point. I'm trying to tie it together. Look at 34. Look at verse 8. Speaking of the day of the Lord, the Bible says in verse 8, for it is the day of the Lord's vengeance and the year of recompenses for the controversy of Zion. And the streams thereof shall be turned into pitch, and the dust thereof into brimstone, and the land thereof shall become burning pitch. It shall not be quenched night nor day. The smoke thereof shall go up forever. From generation to generation it shall lie waste. None shall pass through it forever. Now, 2,800 years ago. Now think of this. Who wrote this? Who wrote what I just read? Isaiah. When did he write it? 2,800 years ago. Now, did you listen to what I read to you? Isaiah saw 2,800 years ago that the desert would burn with pitch. What's pitch? It's oil. It's crude oil. It's crude oil. Isaiah prophesied the burning of the very thing that has been used to build a name for Islam. And what is it? Oil. Crude oil. Look at verse 10. In verse 10, the fire shall not be quenched. The smoke shall go up forever, and the land shall be desolate. Hold your place there. Go over to Jeremiah 49. Jeremiah 49. Look at verse 18. Now here's Jeremiah. And this was 4,600 years, or 2,600 years ago. 2,600 years ago. And here's what Jeremiah, I'm just going to tell you. Jeremiah sees the exact same thing Isaiah sees, or saw, and the exact same thing that the Apostle John saw in Revelation. Point is, folks, God has not hidden from us what's coming. It's right here in the book. Right here in the book. The problem is, we don't read the book. In verse 18, that's why we don't know. We don't read it. Look at verse 18. As in the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, and the neighbor cities thereof, saith the Lord, no man shall abide there, neither shall the Son of Man dwell in it. In what? Well, keep reading. Behold, he shall come up like a lion. Didn't we just read that in Isaiah? Yeah, we did, didn't we? Behold, he shall come up like a lion from the swelling of Jordan against the habitation of the strong. But I will suddenly make him run away from her. And who is a chosen man that I may appoint over her? For who is like me? And who will appoint me the time? And who is that shepherd that shall stand before me? Therefore hear the counsel of the Lord, that he hath taken against Edom, that's Saudi Arabia, by the way, and his purposes, that he hath purposed against the habitation of the inhabitants of Teman, that's Yemen. Surely the least of the flock shall draw them out. Surely he shall make their habitations, what's the next word? Desolate with them. Now watch this. The earth is moved at the noise of their fall. The earth is moved at the noise of their fall. At the cry, the noise thereof was heard in the Red Sea. What's he talking about? He's talking about the destruction of Babylon. Same thing John saw in Revelation 17 and 18. It's the same thing. Folks, listen. Jeremiah tells us that the noise of the destruction will be heard in the Red Sea, pinpointing the location that Elam will destroy as Mecca, Babylon. I think it's clear. I hope you see it. Do you see that? Now, I believe that what is being described in Isaiah 21, in Isaiah 34, in Jeremiah 49, in Revelation 17 and 18 is Shia Islam and the beast, the Mahdi, turning its hatred against Sunni Islam, and the eternal flame of Mecca could be the result of an Iranian nuclear bomb, which Shiite Barry is doing his dead level best to allow them to get with his secret trade agreement. The Wall Street Journal unveiled Monday from a State Department leak, which woe be to that person if they ever find out who leaked it. You're liable to hear of another reporter being brought up on charges for not revealing his source, like they tried to do with James Rosen. But the Wall Street Journal unveiled that the State Department, Obama, has sweetened the pot for Iran with a promise of $50 billion. If they will sign this agreement. Where do we have $50 billion? And folks, the point that you need to see is this world is shaping up. Everything is falling into place in an amazing fashion for the whole biblical end time prophecies to unfold right before our eyes. It is the same thing. It's the same thing in the Bible. It's all coming together in the Bible, but wait a minute. It's all coming together in the Quran as well. It's coming together in biblical Christianity, but the world is shaping up for Islamic prophecy as well. And they see it. Now they think they come out on top, but we believe the Bible and Jesus comes out on top. You see, their prophecies, and this I taught you a couple years ago, their prophecies are the exact same as Bible prophecies. You understand that? All right, in biblical eschatology, there are five things: rapture, ruin, tribulation period, return, reign, restoration. Five major events. All right, rapture, ruin. All of their prophecies deal with the ruin period, the tribulation period. All right, we have Revelation 6 through 18. In our Bibles that deal with the tribulation period. Now, here's the amazing thing. You take the book of the Revelation, and then you take all these Old Testament prophets, and you read what's going to happen during the tribulation period, and then you take Islamic eschatology, the study of future things. You read what Islam says is going to happen during the tribulation period, and they all stack up one on top of the other. They're exactly the same. except for this. The Bible's bad guys are Islam's good guys. And the Bible's good guys are Islam's bad guys. It's just backwards. And isn't that what the devil does? He counterfeits everything. That's all he's got to work with, folks, is counterfeit. Now, the Bible's Antichrist, their Messiah, the Mahdi, Islam calls the Bible's calls the Messiah, the Islamic Messiah, the good guy. No. Bible says he's a bad guy, but they say he's a good guy. Islam calls the Bible's false prophet, and the Bible deals a lot with the false prophet and how he will persuade men. Well, you read in Islamic eschatology, and they have a false prophet, only they don't call him false. Their false prophet is Isa, which means Jesus. They believe that our Jesus, now it's not our Jesus, it'll be a false prophet, but they will think that it's our Jesus. And they teach that once the beast, the Antichrist, the Messiah, the Islamic Messiah, the Mahdi rises up, that two angels will bring Isa from heaven to the mosque in Damascus and will lower him down to where the Mahdi is about to speak. And then they teach that the Mahdi will look at Jesus and say, "Would you like to speak?" And Jesus will walk around, come up behind the Mahdi, get on his knees and bow, and will say, "Oh no, you are our Messiah, our leader." So everything's just reverse. Everything's reversed. It's all just backwards. And both Sunni and Shia are looking for the Mahdi's immediate appearing. And amazingly, folks, here's the point. The entire globe is being infiltrated by Muslims. Mosques are being built. Nuclear weapons are being manufactured. And I'm telling you, the stage is set like it's never been set before. I stood up on September the 12th, 2001, and I stated on that Wednesday night service after 9/11, I said to you, folks, we just saw the beginning of World War III. And I stand by that statement. Thousands of Christians are losing their lives tonight around the globe, being decapitated, being shot point blank range, execution style, being burned alive, bound and thrown from buildings. You name it, it's happening. I got a question. Where's the outrage? Where's the outrage coming out of Congress? Where's the outrage coming out of the White House? Where's the outrage coming out of England? Where's the outrage coming out of Europe? Where is it? It's absent. Obama won't even talk about it. And when he does talk about it, he has to throw in some moral equivalent that seems like he's justifying the behavior. He goes back to slavery or back to the Crusades and says, "Well, Christians have blood on their hands too." But the Bible tells us that in the end times, this killing of those who refuse to take the mark of the beast will be an endless number. Folks, what we're seeing right now is horrific. I mean, it is despicable, evil behavior. But you ain't seen nothing yet. Wait till this beast comes along. Very quickly, I'm out of time. It's gone. It's 8:15. Look at your Bible. Go over to Revelation 6. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Last book of the Bible. Last book of the Bible. All right, look at verse 9, 6, 9. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony for which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? In other words, they were executed. And they cry out midway through the tribulation period, Lord, how long we got to wait before you go get justice and judgment? How long? All right, look at chapter 9. Look at chapter, or 7, I'm sorry, chapter 7, verse 9. He said, after the 144,000 were sent to preach, he said after this in verse 9, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindred and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. Multitudes, folks, multitudes will be saved during the tribulation period. This 144,000, they're preachers. They're not Jehovah's Witnesses, although they witness for Jehovah. But they're not Jehovah's Witnesses. Don't believe that garbage, because that's what it is. All right, now one more verse. Go over to Revelation 20. Verse 1, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having a key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up. Good. And set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones. Now, this is at the end of the tribulation period, beginning of the millennium. Verse 4, and I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the, what's the next word? Souls of them that were beheaded. You think it's bad now? And it is bad now. It is horrible. But you ain't seen nothing yet. You just wait until the church is gone because of the rapture and the Antichrist rises up and all of these Muslims that have fled their countries and gone to Europe and gone to America and gone to Canada and gone to South America, you just wait until the Mahdi rises up and with signs and lying wonders and miracles, he convinces these people that he is the Messiah, that he is God, and the jihad is on. The holy war is on. And John said, I saw the souls of them that were beheaded. Beheaded. Man. Folks, this is real. I mean, it is happening right before our very eyes. Who in our government is speaking up. Where is Congress? Where is the Senate? Where's the governor who is going on national television and demanding that the world stop this? They're not there. They're not there. There is a collective silence across the heavens. You see, as long as this weekend's race doesn't get rained out, as long as Starbucks doesn't run out of coffee, hey, we're good. We're good. Now, I tell you what we ought to do. We ought to be on the phone with the head of the Israeli Mossad. And we ought to have them tell us, because they know, we ought to have them tell us where Boko Haram is right now in Nigeria. Where are they? They know. We ought to have them tell us where ISIS is right now. Where are they sleeping right now? They know. They know. We ought to have them tell us where the Houthis are hanging out tonight. We ought to have them tell us where Rouhani is sleeping tonight. We ought to have them tell us where every single nuclear reactor is being built in Iran, and then we ought to unleash simultaneously the complete and full might and strength of the United States military on all of it and stop it. But that ain't going to happen. That is not going to happen. Not by this government, whose every decision favors their agenda and facilitates their expansion. And putting two and two together without common core and coming up with four, I think it is because, here it is now, I think it is because today we are standing on the precipice of the Lord Jesus coming back to call his bride home to be with him, and then the entire plan and program of God outlined in this Bible unfolds. You say, Pastor, if Obama and the world let Iran get nuclear capability, won't they bomb Israel? Well, they're going to try. They said they would. Will they bomb the United States? Well, they'll try, I'm sure. But you see, Israel has the God of heaven watching out for it. And I don't read anywhere in the Bible that Israel is bombed by nuclear weapons. I see Mecca being bombed by a nuclear weapon and burning forever. As a matter of fact, in Ezekiel 38, when Turkey and Iran combine and come against Israel, the prophet said that God will put hooks in their mouths and will pull them back to the north. And should Iran try to nuke the United States of America, well, good luck with that. I don't think they could do it. I just don't think that's going to happen. But I do believe that Iran will bomb Saudi Arabia. Now, folks, think of it. All right, would you just let the reality of it sink into you? What if I'm right? What if I'm right? You say, well, Pastor, if you're right, we're close. Bingo. Probably shouldn't say bingo in church, should you? Folks, think of it. We could be living our lives one day, drinking our Starbucks and eating our donuts, making sure we got all our emails read, making sure our flower garden looks good and our lawn's perfectly manicured, up on the baseball stats, and then suddenly a trumpet sounds. A sound that will raise the dead. And then we'll be like Enoch, Where'd old Holbrook go? Well, I don't know. He was here a while ago, and now he's gone. Where'd old Jack Rank go? He was here. Where'd he go? Well, just like Enoch, he was, and then he just was not. Well, where'd they go? God took them. In Revelation 20, verse 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and reign with him 1,000 years. Folks, I think we're here.